Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Hey everyone, it's Chatting with Nat. Yes, it's Natalie Jean, it's Natalie Jean, and today we have Jamie Jakubek from the band Crooked Forest, taking influence from rock outfits like Blink-182, Jimmy Eat World, and Treble Charger. Crooked Forest is the independent project of multi-instrumentalist and music producer Jamie Jakubek from Woodbridge, Ontario. Self-produced and home-recorded, it's melodic, it's aggressive, and unapologetically honest. As it tackles issues of society at large with snappy quips and crunchy guitars in a no-holds-barred DIY fashion. Let's give her a round of applause. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm still rocking it. I'm still here, surviving. I just celebrated a birthday 2 days ago. So
awesome. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I'm a year older. I think a little wiser. Still trying to make sense of this whole pandemic thing, but I'm here. And how have you been?
I've been pretty well overall. Same as you, I guess. Still trying to make sense of life in general, I guess, and trying to just keep moving forward here.
Yeah, that's all we can do. That's all we can do. So you've been on the show before. So what's been going on since we last spoke?
I think since we last spoke, I released a bunch of new music. I released a new EP called Jestem Shrivam Lajam. I've been promoting that a little bit. And honestly, though, the last like couple weeks in particular, I've just really been feeling like it was finally time to do a bit more winding down and trying to chill out a little bit. And just feeling like generally tired kind of like every
right.
day a little bit. So I've been trying to just like force myself to relax, which in itself seems to be a challenge, but we're working on it. And yeah, we're just trying to recharge a little bit and take it easy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely important to slow down, wind down, take a vacation, take a break. Even if you can't afford like a huge vacation, you do a staycation or you go somewhere for a day. I think that's very important. Like this past week for my birthday, I went to Mexico, Los Cabos for a week, and which I really needed. Oh my God.
Nice.
Because this year has been so cray cray. The past couple of years have been so cray cray that, and I went with a couple of friends. So it was good to wind down and not really think about music and stuff like that. I did do some TikToks because that's just the thing. But I did wind down. I drank some things, ate some food, and just relaxed and really didn't care about a lot of things. So, yeah, I completely understand the aspect of winding down. Now, tell us more about your new EP. What is it theme-based? What are the songs about?
Yeah, so Jestem Shrivam Lajam was it's a 5-track EP that I recorded at home, mostly here in the house I live in now, but a little bit when I was living in Barrie earlier this year. But yeah, all home recorded. It's very, very bare bones. It's just the acoustic guitar and vocal. It's an important record for me. It wasn't one that I set out to do necessarily when it first started kind of piecing it together. It was kind of one song, the song called Quicksand, kicked it all off for me, and it was like, I need to finish this whole, summarize this whole idea when I needed to do 4 other songs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I released that at the end of October, October 29th. And it's a very important song, very important record for me because it's very, it's a whole different style of songwriting than any of the stuff I've released as Crooked Forest so far. Instead of being very like aggressive in your face and kind of like immature, which some of my Crooked Forest stuff is, it's more metaphorical. It's more a bit more ambient and yeah, very stripped down. So it's more about the stories itself, which are really a culmination of things I've been going through in my life for much of my life, but it's a lot of focus on the last 10 years specifically and getting back to where I'm at now and bringing my kind of my old self up to speed with my new self, if you will.
And so would you say that this album has a lot of authenticity to it? It's really about you and your whole process in life.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's kind of funny because, lyrically it's probably the most vague record I've written so far. But it's because, the subject matter is much more deeply personal to me. And, it's one of those things, like sometimes, like I'm sure it's happened to you, you're singing certain songs and it's like, you're so emotional about it that saying certain words in the song or certain specific things are, it's almost too much. It's like, you can't just keep putting yourself in that place. So to make it a bit more metaphorical made it easier for me to personally get the feelings out to talk about things. Cause I'm talking about things like suicide. I'm talking about things like sexual assault. I'm talking about, grieving loss and, they're all things that are very important to talk about, but are often very difficult to get into. And then they're hard to dig yourself back out of once you're there. So, So it's definitely very personal, and I would say it's probably me at my it's definitely more of my authentic self in that it's also a part of my songwriting and lyric style that I don't often share with people. It would have been stuff that's a bit more poetic that I might have been too embarrassed to release in the past.
What I like about it is that, you know, I was talking to somebody about social impact, like message songs, because that's basically, that's what your album is, because when you write about stuff that's really relatable to the world, you know, the people can listen to and say, oh my God, I've been through that too, is that the music world has yet to understand where to put that kind of music. Because, you know, I've submitted my stuff to many different places, and I think when people listen to your music when you submit it, they're only thinking of, okay, is this chart worthy? Will it go on Billboard? Are people going to stream it? And the thing is, sometimes songs are just written so that people can know that other people are going through the same thing. You're being an effective player as an artist. It's about helping other people. It's about healing the world. It's about letting people know, yeah, I've been through this. This is what, and in my writing about it, and I hope it helps somebody too. And it just baffles my mind how people don't understand social impact message songs. They're always looking for that big finale. Obviously, as independent artists, we want to make money. Yeah, it'd be nice to charge, but sometimes it's all about the listeners and what we can do for them. Do you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's one of those kind of things that you... And I wouldn't say I worry about it personally, but I could definitely see myself like falling in and out of that conversation as I'm writing and just determining what should be released next. That's why I try to put more focus on, okay, what do I think is actually most important to say right now, not what is the coolest, hippest dance track I can put together for, you know, Z103 here in Toronto. like there's a place for those songs, but yeah, I definitely feel like there's so many people in the world, of course, when they go to listen to music, they're just there to be like, I'm just here to forget about my own life. I don't really want to think about anything. I just want to dance, which is great. But I definitely think we need, I would love to see a resurgence of people putting songs out that have more of a deeper purpose, I guess. I don't really know how to describe what I'm saying, but that are more than about just dancing. Like Justin Bieber has a song called Yummy out that was just nominated for a bunch of Grammys. And it's like, Justin Bieber's a great artist. And I mean, I'm not going to say anything about that song in particular, but I mean, there's a lot of more interesting songs that he's written than that one. So it's kind of surprising to me when that happens.
I'll put it out there. I think the song has a great beat, but it's stupid. I'm sorry.
I honestly just lyrically, I think it's pretty boring. Like, isn't it? Like, I don't even know what the point is.
I hate the video. I think the video sucks. I think the video, and that's just my opinion. I just want to put it out there. Because it's just him sitting at the table, and basically he's singing about how he likes somebody a lot, I guess, Haley or whatever. And it's that he says yummy, yummy. I think that, you know, people are, I don't know. I mean, you're exactly right. Are people just writing anything just so that they can get a hit? I mean, I think that's truly sad. And yet he also has songs that are very touching and very emotional and stuff like that, that dig deep into his soul. But that yummy stuff, that was poo-poo. It's caca.
I don't quite get it personally, but yeah.
Me too. So I'm going to play your song, Driveway. Tell us what that's about.
Driveway is probably arguably the most important song to me off of Yes, I'm Shrivam Lajam. Driveway is about the suicide of my friend Robert, who committed suicide just over 10 years ago now. And I wrote that song on the 10th anniversary of his passing. And so that's what the lyrics are all talking about. It's me revisiting exactly what it felt like to first get the phone call to hear about what happened from our mutual friends. And it's something I've held really closely to myself ever since it happened, and something I think about, obviously, not just once a year, but regularly through the year. Because the one thing that about that with Robert was none of us saw it coming. No one would have said that he was suicidal in any way, shape, or form, or that he had any sort of problem, really. We thought he was one of the smartest of the bunch, and he was doing great, and you never had to worry about him. And I think it's an important song for me to highlight for exactly that reason. You just don't know what people are going through, and it's important to check in on people.
Amen to that. All right, let's play it.
Upholstery still stains. 10 years.
That was great. Very emotional, touching song, and the lyrics are very, very true. You know, we just don't, we never know what somebody's going through.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, it's still something that I think about very often, and I think anybody, if there's anybody that is having those sorts of thoughts, those suicidal ideation thoughts, they need to know that you are loved and thought of long after you're gone, and if more and more every day.
Exactly. So you're right. People should check on people from time to time to see how they're doing, because you just don't know what they're thinking, what they're going through. I always check in on people that I haven't heard from in a while just to see. Sometimes they're like, oh, I just got off of Facebook just for a little bit. You know, I needed a breather. I said, okay, you know, let me know if you need anything. But, you know, in the world today, I think, you know, some people have lost their minds.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
I mean, there's more cray-cray out there now than ever.
Yeah, and it's funny. Yeah, there absolutely is. And then it's one of those things that I laugh about, because it's like we are the most connected we've ever been as the human species, and yet I feel many people are becoming more and more disconnected every day.
You're right about that. That's 100% right. I mean, if you turn on the news, you see people helping people, and then there's people stabbing, killing, shooting, running people over.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's going on? It's like, what's going on? It's like, It's its own apocalypse, basically. It's just
I wonder too. Like, it's I question the media a lot with this stuff, because it's like, is this stuff happening at a much greater rate, and that's why we're hearing about it so much, or are they just pushing these stories on us more and more to sensationalize them? Like, what is? I get very like, it's just crazy to think about that. There's so much more negative things going on all the time as opposed to positive, and it's just nuts.
That's very true. I mean, when I look at things, I mean, there is a sensationalism thing, but the things are going on in the world. And it's just like, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, people were locked up for a year and they're venting out their anger, and, you know, husbands and wives that weren't, you know, together that long. But they had to be in close, you know, quarters for them. They got, some of them went cuckoo.
Totally.
I still love, this is too much kind of deal. You know, it is a good question. Was this stuff always happening? But I do believe that because of the pandemic, a lot of things just escalated.
Yeah, no, I think so too, for sure.
People had to look at their own in the face, and family members they probably hardly even knew because they weren't spending that much time with them, just brought out a lot of different things.
And then just like tons of people like losing their jobs, losing their, you know, health insurance, losing all sorts of these are big deal things, and I think that has a really big impact.
Exactly. So how do you plan on marketing and promoting your EP, because that's the biggest thing for us indies out there? We have to do everything ourselves and try to get it out there just so people can know that it's out there.
Yeah, honestly, I find promotion and marketing has got to be one of the parts that I like the least about doing all of this. Like, I don't mind taking on so much, but it's one of those things that is a little grating. It's like once you finish the record, you're like, I've already put in so much of myself to this, you know. But it's like you're just getting started all over again. So I don't know. I'm kind of trying different things. Like, I'm embracing the TikTok world a little bit, but in my own little weird way. And I'm just trying to talk about it more, I guess, and just trying to get people to, like, I'm literally at the point where I just want to keep walking up to people, like, in the street and be like, can you please listen to this record? Because I don't really know the best way to do it. It seems like there's so much content out there. It's very hard to push your stuff in there and be like, what about me? Listen to this one.
Well, one of the major things, and I always tell people, it's weird. Every year something changes about how you should push and what you should push your music on. So one of the biggest deals is to get your music on a Spotify playlist. And so there are different companies that you can use to do that are pretty legit. Some say they'll give you your money back if you don't see anything. And then obviously you could send your music to the editorial people at Spotify. But getting on a playlist is huge because that's way you'll get more streams. SoundCloud has a promo service. I just recently tried it. I've been trying it for years, but they wouldn't accept my credit card. It would always say something. I try to contact SoundCloud. They don't respond. And I guess they never responded. For a couple of years now, I've been trying to do it. Recently,
I'm trying to give you money. Why aren't you helping me? What is going on?
Right? So finally, this year, I said, let me try it again. And it accepted it. But this time, I think you can do it through PayPal. Oh, no. The credit card you use has to accept international something. So that's why it went through. There's that. And it's not too expensive to do that. Obviously, there's posting on your social media sites and hashtagging to death. And then there's the TikTok. Yeah, I know. I've gotten into it like cray-cray. TikTok is very interesting to me because you can be funny, you can be serious, you can do whatever you want on it, but you really have to really think about the ideas and how you're going to push it that'll get people to watch it, share it, whatever. Sometimes it's about algorithms. I don't even pay attention to that
much. I know. I can't even think about algorithms when I do anything. I'm like, that's way too like scientific or something for me. Like, just I'm gonna forget about it. I'll just throw something out there, and if it sticks, it sticks, and that's how I go about it.
Yeah. It's like you have to post this time, that time, not this time. I can't. I'm just going to post it now. I personally released 7 singles back to back. Never do that. Let me just give you some advice. Somebody asked me, why didn't you just do an album? Because they all just don't go. When I do an album, it's theme based, and everything's different here. Never do it. You have to think several different things to do for each song. Like, I did lyric videos for them. One of the biggest things now is lyric videos, and people do that mostly because they can't afford to do a regular video because those things can be expensive. However,
I did that a bit last year too, for sure.
Yeah. However, if you have like an iPhone or a equivalent type of phone, you can actually create your own videos on your phone. Selena Gomez did that when I think the iPhone 11 came out. She did one video and it was basically off of her iPhone.
Yeah, so, I do. I do lots of videos off my iPhone as well. I really recommend it because there's so many free apps you can use to make really professional looking content. And like, I did a video for Driveway as well, and I just used stock video footage, and I was like so pleased with the way this thing turned out. Like, and it didn't take that long to do. I threw it together like within a couple hours on iMovie, which again came with my computer, so it wasn't any added any money or anything, but. It turns out it looks really professional. I like it. Like, I enjoy watching it. And, like, oftentimes I don't enjoy watching back stuff I've done.
iMovie is great. It's fantastic because you can do so many different things on there, just basic stuff, and it still will come out. Yeah, I mean, you could do a lyric video through that.
Yeah.
And I also use Fiverr because I use some of the same people on Fiverr for my videos, and I use this one person for getting, the other thing is to get reviews about your music. That's also helpful.
I haven't dove too much into the music review side of promoting any of my stuff yet. So that's something I've been looking a bit more into. But yeah, I think you're right. Definitely like pushing. I like pushing little videos and stuff, especially if you can do them yourself and make a unique spin on them. And yeah, all the Spotify placements. I've been on those too quite a bit. And just anytime anybody posts about, I'm putting together a playlist, I'm like, can you please like listen to this one and put it on there? I don't even care. I'm like, just put it on there.
Exactly. So yeah, just all those little things, they all help. But the thing is, you have to. I went on vacation, but you have to post something a little bit every day. So what I was doing, I would post about one song one day, another on the other day, another on the other day, just to have something out there that's relevant. I still have to go back and do that. I also used AMPE. It does, and they're based out of Canada. They're having a promotion right now, which is like, usually you have to pay $250. That's $125, and they'll put you on a blast. It could be any song or album before December 2020. But they also do the, you know, if you have a current song, you have to select the genre that your song, your album or song is in, and they'll send it out to, they have an e-blast of over 2,000 people, and that's how you can try to get your music on radio. There's also
cool.
music, yeah, there's Music Submit. They have a lot of radio stations on their list. They're a lot cheaper. I think it's $25, $40 a month, and they'll continue to send out your music to these different places. So, yeah, so there's a lot of different things that you have to do. It's the bottom line is just it's just a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
It is. It's a ton. It's like it's one of those things, like, that's why I think it gets so exhausting and kind of gets lost in the scheme of things for me sometimes.
Right.
So it's just, like, just thinking about it and thinking about putting together these little releases for each one. And everyone has, like, their own specific requirements. So you're,
right.
it feels like you're setting up a new page for each person
exactly.
almost. It's like... It's like, how many pages do I need here? Like, I have a website. Can't you guys just, like, pull from here? You know?
You're right in my mind. I always tell them that. I'm going to play your song, Wasted Time. Tell us what that's about.
Yeah, Wasted Time is kind of a silly song almost, because I was kind of writing it about the whole process of exactly what I've been doing over the last year and a half with Crooked Forest and all the songs I was releasing. And like I said, like I kind of did what you did. I put out like a single every few days for a stretch of time last year with lyric videos and stuff. And it was like, I was like, I'm doing all this stuff, trying to push forward to have fun with this music thing and to get these stories out. But it's like, man, sometimes it just all feels like you're just wasting time. You're just piddling away. And it's like, what are we really doing all this for? And that's kind of what Wasted Time is about.
All right. Well, let's do it.
Do you really think that it's bad?
Thank you.
Now, would you consider your music punk rock or rock? What do you consider it?
I kind of just throw it under a blanket rock statement right now, just because it seems to kind of push and pull between the genres. But I think when it comes down to it, most of my stuff is just, it's more rock based than I would say. It's rock with a punk attitude.
I like that. I think that's awesome. Awesome stuff. And how do you think people perceive women in that industry?
I think, honestly, in my experience, and it's really sad to say, but a lot of the times I find a lot of people don't like to see women in this space. They don't get it. They don't think that it makes sense. They don't think the voice fits the genre. And if you stray too far from the type of lyrics that they're used to hearing, then suddenly you're an imposter. So I struggle a lot with that, but I think there's definitely been a big gaping hole for women in the rock scene in general, and I really love to see more women emerge in it and be better received and given a bit more opportunity and a bit more space in the scene, because it doesn't make any sense to me. It still seems like there's a massive disparity between women and men in rock music, and I just don't get it personally.
Right. No, I don't. You think music is music, and people would just embrace one another. But you know what I find is just that there's got to always be some kind of controversy. Like, the world could not be a normal state if there wasn't something to fight for.
For sure.
I mean, because that's all you see. You would think music is a space where, you know, it's like our superpower, and we're all doing great things with music, but there's always some kind of fight. Either, you know, with country music now, more Black people are trying to get into it. No, they can't do that. Women are producers and engineers. No, they can't do that. So there's always something that people want to argue about rather than just say, dude, this is just music. I mean,
yeah.
The platform is so big. It's large enough for all of us. So why are you doing that?
I don't even understand why they have such hesitation and reservation about it, because it just doesn't make any sense. And it's funny, because I've had some experience in the past, like in professional recording studios, where like I had somebody approach me about a job once. He's like, well, the reason we were interested in bringing you in specifically is because we're working with an all-girl pop R&B group, and they are interested in having a woman engineer on the session. It had nothing to do with the men on the session wanting a woman in the studio.
Right.
It had to do with the artists themselves. And it was such an odd conversation to me. Ultimately, I ended up declining entirely. I said, no, thank you, for my own reasons. But it was the weirdest conversation for me to be having with engineers. And I was like, I don't know. I've experienced that a lot on both ends, in the studio and on stage, and even just working with bands in general, managing bands. It's like you walk in with a band, a group of guys, and the people at a venue staff look at you and you're like, oh, you must just be the help, or you must be the merch girl. And it's like, I'm not the merch girl. Thank you very much. I produce and manage the band. And like, you should talk to me like the same way you're talking to the band. And I'm just really sick of that attitude like across the board. And so it's something I'm actively working to call people out on, because it's so obvious when it happens to me now. It wasn't obvious when I was, you know, 17, 18, just getting into studios, but it's very apparent to me now.
I mean, it's the whole thing is just sad. It's just like, you know, the way that people view women, it's just disgusting. It's just, like, we can't even do anything. All our the best jobs that we can do is bear children and clean.
I have a story for you. I had somebody say this to me, another job related thing in the studio.
Okay.
I had somebody, there's a recording studio in here in Toronto called Phase One. And a friend of mine, you know, put an introduction together for me. He knew the head engineer at the time there. And he's like, oh, go over there and meet the engineer, meet the team there in case there's any work for you. Because I was kind of jumping around from a lot of different professional recording studios in Toronto at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And And it was great. So when I did the tour with the head engineer, he's a nice guy. And then he's like, hey, our studio owner, Barry, is here. And, you know, maybe if he has a quick minute, he can meet you as well. And I was like, great. That's why not? This guy, Barry, brings me in to speak with him. Doesn't shake my hand or anything. It just kind of gives me a cold demeanor right from the get-go, as if he actually didn't want to meet me at all. So I wasn't sure why we were doing this. And within minutes of me sitting down in front of him, he basically said to me, well, if you're here about a job, you know, I haven't got anything for you. He's like, usually if we hire women, they're only to do clerical work, managing appointments and stuff of that nature. And, you know, I never... there's not going to be a female engineer here because in a couple of years, you're going to want to have children and I need someone committed to the studio. And I was like, whoa, buddy. I, first of all, didn't even come here looking for a job. I just came because somebody wanted to introduce me to the engineer here. And it was like, where did this even come from? But also, I will never work here. Absolutely not. And I will always tell everybody not to work here because of what you just said to me.
That is just, good response. Because that would have, oh my God, it would have cursed him out. It's just like, what?
It really blew my mind.
The assumption that you want to have children is just ridiculous.
And I was like 21 years old at the time. I was like, buddy, it's like, why are you making decisions about what I'm doing with my body when I'm 21 years old? And like, it just made no sense. I was like, it was really just like really quite gross to me.
That's just stupid. Okay, so we're gonna play your song Camp. What is that about?
Oh man, Camp is a sort of a really silly, funny song. I wrote it just because I was watching a podcast with Jim Adkins last year, and he was interviewing Steve Aoki on it, and they were talking about video games for a brief minute. And for some reason, that one little snippet of their conversation, I gotta write something. I had this lyric idea immediately about which is like video game related because I grew up playing video games, and it spawned Camp. But Camp is now one of my favorite songs because it's kind of like a pop punk track, but it's very So it's a little like Blink-182-esque, but lyrically it kind of jumps around referencing a lot of my favorite things, like a TV show called Whose Line Is It Anyways, right off the gate there. And it's all just about playing games with people and not understanding if you're on the same page with somebody else.
Ah, all right, let's play it.
Of me, come on, gotta pull it all together. Felt caught out in sequence beats.
Way.
Well, Jamie, thank you for being once again on Chatting with Nat. It's always my pleasure to have you on the show because you are so insightful and awe-inspiring.
Thanks so much for having me again. Appreciate it.
Until next time, we definitely will do another IG Live. I'd like to do that again, too, one of these days soon. All right, everybody, this was Chatting with Nat with Jamie Jacobsack from the band Crooked Forest. You can find her at www.crookedforest.ca. She's on Spotify, Bandcamp, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all over the place. So you know what you can do? You can actually just Google her. Until next time, on with Nat.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Love your